on Annenberg Radio News, Thanksgiving traditions in L.A.
Had kind of a different Thanksgiving. There would be a lot of American traditional food, but also Korean food.
Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, November 23rd, 2010. I'm Madeline Cinto. The LA Board of Supervisors wants to ban medical marijuana stores in the county's unincorporated areas. Today, in a 4-1 vote, the board moved to rewrite it into law. Supervisor Michael Antonovich first proposed the ban in July. As LA moves to close down many of its pot dispensaries, supervisors say they don't want new ones to spring up in the unincorporated areas. Few know how to host a Thanksgiving giveaway like the Jackson Limousine Service. Celebrities and community leaders hustled to hand out thousands of Thanksgiving dinners in a box to the needy. Left foot, let's start. But as Marilyn Medawar reports, the vibe at the annual event on West Slauson Avenue was more rave than reverent.
The music was cranked up loud. Most people were dancing and clapping, even those in wheelchairs. Some people were getting down with the DJ, but the man who was most energetic was EJ Jackson, the owner of the limousine service.
I love making people happy. And I love, because how can you not? How can you, this is the greatest country on the world. How can you not make people happy? How can you have so much and not share? How can you do that? You see what I'm saying? How can you sit back and eat a meal without making people happy? You know what I'm saying? And I love it. I love doing it, you know? I love doing it. And God bless you for coming.
Thousands of people from across the city came for the fun and a full Thanksgiving dinner. Turkey, rice, apples, stuffing, and canned vegetables. The disabled and some elderly passed to the front. Others waited patiently in line, including an elderly woman with a cane who waited 3 hours for her turkey. Everyone had a reason to be there.
I was in need and didn't have a lot of work, so hey, I still wanted to celebrate Thanksgiving, so here I am.
And what I want to tell you is we come here every year.
I just don't know, just everything's so hard. As a matter of fact, I just lost my job recently, so this really, really helps out with the family and everything else.
If you come up here, you will do with a turkey. And bless you, bless your family, and everybody that is not doing so good, come down and have a turkey with us, please.
So I'm going to give my turkey to someone that's in the neighborhood that needs something to eat.
I am Marilyn Medawar for Annenberg Radio News.
North Korea fired at a South Korean island this morning, setting off an exchange that killed two soldiers. It was the first attack on a civilian area since the Korean War. Arielle Edwards-Levy talked to young Korean Americans to see how they're taking the news.
Jane Hwang is a student at USC. When she heard about the attack on South Korea, she called her family to check in.
I talked to my mom because she has sisters and brothers in Korea. She says that if she were living there, she would feel very unsafe. But because she lives here, she feels, you know, that's sort of like barrier between her and North Korea.
Despite the distance, many Korean Americans are anxious. Hwang says her Facebook feed is filled with messages and prayers.
It's weird because a lot of Korean Americans are updating their statuses because they feel some sort of connection. I definitely feel the concern and I definitely see the worries my friends have, at least.
But in South Korea, those worries are a part of daily life. Christy Hong is a student at UC Berkeley. She says having lived in South Korea, she's used to hearing about the threat.
It seems like Koreans from Korea, they don't really care all that much, but maybe more so than Korean Americans who live in America. I think it's because we've been growing up listening to all these crazy stories, and we've become like numb to that. I think a lot of us just shut off.
The U.S. has promised what it's calling a measured response to the attack. Arielle Edwards-Levy, Annenberg Radio News.
Before buying toys for those little ones, you'd better think twice. Or at least that's what Public Interest Research Group's 25th Annual Toy Safety Report suggests. Reporter Esther Kong has the story.
With Christmas just around the corner, gift shopping is at the top of most people's to-do lists. Especially for those who have little ones hoping for bright, shiny things from Santa, they ought to be in a toy shopping frenzy. But US PERC has a message for parents. Beware. Those seemingly harmless playthings can be toxic or even deadly. In its 25th annual Toy Safety Report released today, the organization reveals that toy-related injuries sent more than 250,000 children to the emergency room last year. 12 children did not survive. One of the biggest health hazards found in toys is exposure to toxic chemicals like lead and phthalates, but the leading cause of toy-related deaths is from choking. In the past year, millions of toys have been recalled in the U.S., but hazardous toys can still be found on store shelves. For tips and safety guidelines, you can go to usperg.org. Esther King, Annenberg Radio News.
Well, it's time to take out those long johns because it's gonna be cold tonight. Temperatures will get down to the low 40s and there's a 50% chance of rain. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny with temperatures in the high 50s. And Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, will be similar. It'll be sunny and breezy with highs in the mid 60s. Later on Annenberg Radio News, we talked to Councilman Tom Labonge about how he's trying to save art in L.A. At this year's auto show, 31 cars were debuted to the world. But what really dominated the show floor were the hybrid and eco-friendly vehicles. Emily Frost tells us what's new in the green market.
Toyota celebrated 10 years of hybrid cars, Chevrolet showed off their new electric car called the Volt, and Volkswagen rolled out their hybrid cars that run off clean diesel. With all these new green cars on the market, consumers don't just have a choice between a regular car and a hybrid. Now they have to choose what kind of green car they want. Some use no gas, like the all-electric Coda that you can literally plug into an outlet at home. Others use a little gas to charge the battery. But most hybrid cars are just that, a balance between gas and electric. An example is a plug-in hybrid called Karma from the little-known company Fisker. Terry Schwarkatz from Fisker Automobiles says they produced a hybrid because most cities don't have the infrastructure for solely electric cars. They're left driving around looking for charging stations. He says companies don't commit to one power source because technology is always changing.
You know, in the future, it may not end up being batteries. It may be hydrogen or something else. So this is sort of a step in that direction.
Fisker and Jaguar also upped the style of their green cars. They're being marketed as the sleeker, more luxurious version of Toyota's hybrid. The new slogan, "This ain't your mom's hybrid." For Annenberg News, I'm Emily Frost.
The LA Auto Show is open at the Convention Center until this Sunday, the 28th. Speaking of cars, it's a little known fact that any diesel engine can run off straight vegetable oil or biodiesel. Stephanie Guzman found one man that converted his own Volkswagen Bug to run off the green fuel.
On a long stretch of road in the city of Torrance sits a trailer. It looks like it was placed there by mistake until Chris Pine pulls in. He's here to fill up his tank, but the engine you're hearing isn't pumping gasoline. It's filling up his Volkswagen Bug with biodiesel. Biodiesel is made out of vegetable oils and animal fats. It burns cleaner than regular gasoline, and it's cheaper per mile. So why isn't everyone using it? For one thing, it can smell a little funky.
For a while there, one company was getting a large allotment of walnut oil from food processors, and so our fuel kind of smelled like Roscoe's house of chicken and waffles, you know.
Most Americans don't convert their fueling habits because converting their car can be expensive. The only exception is a diesel engine with no plastic parts.
All you have to do is fill up your tank with biodiesel if you've got a diesel engine, and then use it.
The other problem is there aren't many gas stations that carry biodiesel. That's where Pine comes in. He's a founding member of the Biodiesel Cooperative of Los Angeles. The co-op started in 2005 and is now 140 members strong and has another location in East Los Angeles. They buy biodiesel from local companies that would normally waste their vegetable oil. Pine's personal interest started when his son wanted to convert his wife's Bug to a diesel engine.
And he was trying to convince me how wonderful it was by saying, Dad, we can make biodiesel in the backyard. And I said, no, we can't.
Pine says it was build their own fueling station, drive to Ventura, or buy gallons of vegetable oil from Smart and Final. Now, he and his family fill up their three cars at the trailer station. The funny thing is, right around the corner is headquarters to ExxonMobil.
We are in the belly of the beast, and we say,
Sometimes it seems easier to just pull into a gas station and use regular diesel fuel, but Pine doesn't mind the extra work.
We in the older generations have to support improving their world because we can't just leave them with debt. We've got to leave them with inspiration.
Pine and his co-op have already inspired the city of Torrance to use biodiesel in some of their engines, and more gas stations in the area are starting to sell it too. Stephanie Guzman, Annenberg Radio News.
The city crime rankings are out again, and Compton makes the top 10. Rebecca Schoenenkopf talked to residents to see why or what they think about their city's crime reputation.
This week's city crime rankings list Compton as the eighth most dangerous city in the nation, based on murder, rape, robbery, aggravated assault, burglary, and car theft. But a lot of the people who live and work here think that's a bad rap. We found Paula Parker waiting for a bus.
I've been a resident of Compton since 1968.
Wow.
I love the city of Compton.
Tell me why.
Because there's a lot of good things that go on here in Compton, a lot of different activities. We have a lot of good churches here in the city of Compton. We have a good council and mayor in Compton. We just have a lot of good things that people don't come to see in Compton. All they want to come see is the bad stuff.
Jeremy was coming from the library. He works in education. He hadn't heard about the newest crime rankings.
And I lived here majority of my life, and I've never been a victim of any gang violence or anything like that, so I'm somewhat surprised, but then again, you know, things happen.
City Manager Willie Norfleet cited growth in the city's sales tax revenue as a sign things might be coming back despite unemployment rates over 20%. But he also pointed out that when people are poor, they've got to keep body and soul together somehow.
Poverty has been known as the mother of crime and revolution, according to Aristotle. So when you're looking at people trying to make a way and live in a tough economic climate, there's only two things to really do: resort to crime or change laws that allow a person to earn an income, a reasonable income, in order to survive, as opposed to resorting to crime.
While almost everyone we spoke to was a Compton booster, Lisa was not so happy. She was at the Sheriff's Department substation, waiting to file a report. She didn't want to tell us what it was regarding, but she looked tired and sad.
We have danger around us all the time. Every day is something. Every day. Kids dying. Not only that, it's a lot of other things going on in Compton people don't know about.
How long have you lived here?
All my life. I'm 37.
Do you have kids?
Yeah, I have five.
Do you worry?
Yes. Every day. For my sons, mostly. I just try to keep them under. You can't protect them all the time. So, I mean, you try to do your best with, you know, teaching them what's right and wrong. So, yeah, I worry about my kids every day.
Compton wasn't the only California city on the list of the nation's most dangerous. Oakland and Richmond were on there, too. And the nation's most dangerous city, according to the people at CQ Press? St. Louis, Missouri. Rebecca Schoenkopf, Annenberg Radio News.
Today, the Arts Committee of the LA City Council met to talk about expanding their public-private partnerships. These partnerships would allow nonprofits to take over the city's cultural arts programs for the next 5 to 10 years. Chair of the committee, Councilman Tom LaBanche, told me today that it will save Los Angeles about $2 million.
$2 million?
But compared to no dollars, meaning the dollars are being erased because of the difficult times that we're in. And so we need to reach to partners in order to keep these places open.
Is there any fear that if you kind of contract it out or lease out these programs, that these partnerships won't be able to execute the programs as well as the city has been doing?
Well, I think they could do, there's this relationship that enhances it, it blossoms it, it makes things more creative. So I'm not afraid of this opportunity.
And would this be the first public partner or public-private partnership in L.A. if this went through with the arts?
In the last bad recession in the early 90s, the cultural affairs partnered out with community groups to do the private-public partnership.
What kind of organizations would you foresee coming in to participate in this?
People who have a love of arts, a love of people, and a skill to raise revenue.
But you don't have any specific organizations in mind, or just?
Oh, no, I don't know. You know, that's up to those who choose to bid on it. You know, I hope people step up who have a value and a love for the city's opportunity to continue art community program.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you so much for your time.
Got it.
Really appreciate it. That was Councilmember LaBanche. Thank you.
State Attorney General candidate Kamala Harris is leading against opponent Steve Cooley in the ongoing vote count. Harris, a Democrat, has a lead of more than 51,000 votes today. She's been leading in votes since November 12th. Cooley was leading for a week before that, but it's still too soon for anyone to declare victory. There are nearly 500,000 ballots waiting to be counted. That includes mail-in ballots, provisional ballots, and damage ballots. Under state law, the count must be finished by next Tuesday. This week, plenty of families will be sitting down for a traditional Thanksgiving dinner. But in a diverse city like LA, no two traditions are the same. Our own Shelley Hsu asked a few people how they'll celebrate.
My Thanksgiving celebration is a fairly traditional
one. I celebrate for long, long, long time.
In Taiwan, we didn't concern Thanksgiving as a very meaningful holiday, but we do celebrate it.
When I was young, we had kind of a different Thanksgiving. There would be a lot of American traditional food, but also Korean food too. But nowadays, we celebrate it more traditional American style with like turkey and mashed potatoes.
Chicken, fruit, salad, everything vegetable.
It comes with maple syrup, you know, for salads and stuff. And also they like the cranberries with the flavor.
Yeah, sometimes we just buy chicken from Costco and enjoy the chicken.
I'm not a good cooker at all, so I don't really do anything for cooking. Basically, we just wait for family to come over, or we go to my mom's house and, you know.
The whole family gets together. Each member of the family bakes or cooks something and brings it to the table. And we prepare the food together. We laugh. We make jokes. We watch football on TV. And basically have a time to spend together with family members.
Now we check in with Faye Lee to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News tonight at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Hi, Faye Lee. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Madeline.
So we were talking earlier today, and you were telling me how you did a story related to Thanksgiving and international students. Could you tell us what that was about?
Well, you know, Thanksgiving's coming up, and a lot of people go home, but unfortunately for international students, that's just not efficient at all to, you know, spend hours on the plane. So the Office of International Students actually hosts a matchup program, and the idea is to match up international students and scholars with local American families to also, you know, celebrate Thanksgiving.
Wow, that sounds really interesting. We'll make sure to check that out. Thanks so much, Faye.
No problem.
Have a happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
Well, if you're looking to spice up your Thanksgiving meal, we have the recipe for you. A Dorsey High School student in the cooking program tells us how to make pavo en especias, or spiced turkey. Find that out and more on our website, annenbergradio.org. So that's it for this Tuesday. We had help today from Ryan Nunez. Stephanie Guzman and Jessica Flores were our producers. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Madeline Cinto. Make sure, again, to check out our website, annenbergradio.org, and have a happy and safe Thanksgiving.